So this is our fourth and final shiur, part two of the Shabbos candles. And I want to discuss a number of issues today. We have a lot to do, ladies. I want to discuss issues number one of electricity, using electric candles and lights for the mitzvah. Number two, lighting, whether it's your wax or your oil or your paraffin candles in a room where there is electric light. Candle, you know, from the ceiling, etc. Number three, I want to discuss where to light. Specifically, if you're sleeping at home, but you were fortunate enough to be invited out for dinner Friday night, where do you light? What if you're sleeping away? Someone invited you out for a Shabbos. You have to light at your host's house. Are you allowed to light? What about if you're in a hotel? What about let's think of a mazel tov, a new mother who's in the hospital for a Shabbos. Husband and wife are away from each other. Either he's on a trip, she's on a trip, etc. Want to discuss all of those things. And then last but not least, I do want to leave a good 10-15 minutes, hopefully if we budget our time, to discuss the whole issue of what if you forget to light and what are the ramifications of that. But that will only work, ladies, if we stay on topic and we stay disciplined and we move forward. So source number one and number two, including the famed and very highly regarded Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, discuss the following question. Can you light with electric lights? Right? We don't have to worry about the kosher then. So, the question discussed already with the poskim in the earlier part of the century. Now, obviously, they were discussing this when the light that we were talking about was incandescent, which you can still get. Not everything is fluorescent in today's day and age, but fluorescent is a different issue. But incandescent, where you have a filament that's really heating up, where you're producing a real, what is halakhically considered a flame, the question is, could that count for the Shabbos candles? This is a similar, although it's not an identical question, but it's a similar question that's discussed on Hanukkah for the menorah, and it's also a similar discussion that's discussed for Havdalah, neither of which we're talking about today. But we are talking about Friday night Shabbos candles. So, a good place to start, I don't know if it's the first source, but it's a classic source on this question, is source number one, is a tshuva written by the Har Tzvi. The Har Tzvi was Tzvi Pesach Frank, who was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, and a great, great genius and tzaddik, and he discusses it. And let's read the first two lines or so inside, because he frames the issue. Again, this is not a shiur on electricity and all this, but we're assuming just for granted. That's worth a lecture or two on its own. But we're assuming for now as a given, as he does also, that when you talk about a filament, you have a real ish. So given all of that, given the status of electricity that way, he still asks the question. Halakas ner shel Shabbos b'chashmal. To light with electricity, electric candles. Im l'chumra yesh lochush t'havi grama. V'im b'kiyum mitzvot asei ma'akev. I'll translate all this in a minute. Onemar, delagabi mitzvah asay, dailo, gam bigram asiya. So, to summarize, what is he saying? He's asking a fundamental question, which is actually beyond the issue of electricity. It's just expressing itself with the question of electricity. The mitzvah of Shabbos candles, do we require, from a legal halachic perspective, an act of lighting, a ma'aseh hadlaka? Or is it sufficient that the candles are lit? It sounds like semantics, but it's in fact a very big difference, and it makes a practical difference in this question. Do we need to have a halachic action that created the fire, a ma'aseh hadlaka? Or is it really irrelevant to us how the fire was created, as long as there is light? So, in general, we have this question in many, many areas of halacha. Right, let's say the knife fell just so on the cow's neck. The animal was shecht, right? But there was no ma'aseh shechita. Right, you could ask this in many, many areas. I'm just giving as an analogy. So, in general in halacha, whether it's for mitzvos, or for that matter even damages or other things, we distinguish between someone doing a direct action and grama, which means an indirect action, indirect causation. Says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, he assumes, again, this is debatable, but for our purposes we're not going to debate it. He assumes that turning on a light is an indirect causation. Like, however electricity works, it's complicated. It's not as direct as me putting the match to the wick. I flip a switch and then something goes on in my flashlight, in my chandelier, in my light bulb. He refers to that as a grumma, as an indirect causation. If you accept all of that, now we're ready for his question. His question is, can I use an electric light to fulfill the mitzvah of Shabbos candles? It depends. if I say it's sufficient for Shabbos candles just to indirectly cause, as long as there's light, who cares how it got there? So then maybe turning on the light switch, flipping on the candle, the, you know, the electric light is enough. I think it's not a maisa hadlaka, but who said you need it? Or alternatively, he says, maybe Shabbos candles is not just enough to have the light, you need to directly produce the light. And therefore, if you require a maisa hadlaka, then electricity would be insufficient. That's his question. That's how he frames, conceptually, this question. So, towards the bottom of the paragraph, if you'll skip, he quotes an opinion l'chumra from a great genius, as he refers to as the Gaon Harav Yosef Rosen, where I have it bolded, second line from the bottom. Rav Yosef Rosen was known as the Rogachover. The Rogachover from Dvinsk, he was a contemporary and a colleague of Rav Meir Simcha, of Dvinsk, the Or Sameach, and the Meshach Chachma. He was, if you've ever seen pictures of him, he was actually, as a high school boy, as a bachar, he was our best friend, because he had very long hair. And when every other Rebbeim told you, you need to get a haircut, your hair's too long, so you say, bah, I want to be like the Rogachover. Why did he have such long hair? So the legend goes, because he was literally so infatuated with learning, he could not bear to take off his yarmulke, even for that time that it would take to get a haircut. Yes, and that's exactly how I was in high school, so therefore I felt that this was an appropriate model for me to aspire to. I never had such long hair anyway, but anyway. But friends of mine, of course, it's all about the friends. They say as well about him that on Tisha B'Av he learned. And they asked him, but it says in Shulchan Aruch he can't learn Torah on Tisha B'Av. He says, this should be my worst avera. I can't stop. So he was a genius. He was a legendary genius, the earlier part of the 20th century, not so long ago. So he says, after all that introduction, he says you cannot use electricity. He says you need a maisa hadlaka for Shabbos candles. Look on the last line. Vahora, what was his decision? He says, Aval lo be'erev Shabbos kodesh. He distinguishes between Havdalah and Shabbos candles. The Habracha, he talking about now, he lahadlik ner, v'zelo chashiv madlik. After look at the nusach of our bracha, what do we say? Lahadlik ner. Lahadlik ner is focused on my action. If you assume that just turning on the flipping the switch is not an action, is not a halachic maisa, so therefore it would be insufficient. He holds you can't do it, you can't make a bracha, it's no good. However, if you go to the earlier part of the paragraph, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, no slouch on his own right, Chief Rabbi of Yerushalayim, he disagrees. Not because he disagrees about electricity, he disagrees about Shabbos candles. And he says, quoting a Rambam which we saw last week, it's on your sheets from last week, the Rambam says, if you take a look here, I gave you just the shorter version of it here in the beginning of the third line. What's the mitzvah of Shabbos candles? Chayavim liyos babateihem ner daluk b'Shabbos. That's not focusing at all on me having to do an action. There has to be candles which are lit in my house. But I don't need to have some. Now, it doesn't happen on its own. Someone's going to have to light them. But the focus of the Rambam is clearly not my action, is that there is light. Says Rabbi Pesach Frank, electric light is sufficient to meet that standard. And therefore he says, where it's underlined on the third line, Im kein, gamal hadlakas ner shal Shabbos shal chashmal, yesh lomar d'afilu im tim salomar d'hava grama. Even if you'll say, again, you could have debate, and he has a lot of contemporary posts debate, what is the status of electricity and turning on the switch. But even if you assume naniach, you assume it's indirect, you're still yotzei, says Rabbi Pesach Frank, mikamakum yachol levarech. You make a bracha on the light. Mishum to ikra mitzvah hanasa, or it's all about benefiting from the light, as we saw last week. And therefore, you can make the bracha on flipping the switch. That is, so we have two extremes. One says you shouldn't do it at all, really. One says that you can do it and even make a bracha. What do we do? What's the psak? So the contemporary psak, if you take a look at source number two, Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa says the following: Hamadlik Nero Shabbos v'yomtov b'neros chashmal. Yeshlo almi lismoch. It's not exactly a ringing endorsement, but he says if you would do it, it would be okay. V'gam yivarech. You can even make a bracha ahalakazu. ubelvad shiyadlik lechvoder Shabbos. Again, it has to have been done for Shabbos. It's not random or by accident. One second, but you did it lechvod Shabbos. There's a story in the Sefer Nefesh HaRav, which, as we've quoted before, and we're actually going to quote in a few minutes again. This was 20 years ago when Rav Soloveitchik died. So Rav Hershel Schechter published a book of family hanhagos that were unique to Rav Soloveitchik in the background. And there also he has a story, I think, that the Rav told, if I remember correctly, about when his mother was in the hospital and she asked her husband, Rav Soloveitchik's father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, what should she do? And he paskened also, you use the light in the hospital and you make a bracha on it. The same thing as Rav Tzipa Safrank, the same thing as the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa points out. So, most of us, I should say most, I'll go out on a limb here and say almost all of us have not substituted electric light and ditched the candles, right? 99%, I'm being conservative because probably 100%, but just to be safe, you never know, there's always somebody out there looking to make my life difficult. So 99% of people are still lighting candles. So what the basis of that is what we're about to get to. That we're about to get to that. We didn't get to it yet. This is step one. But step one is that it seems that the consensus opinion seems to be that with the right kind of light, again, I'm not talking about fluorescent, we already disqualified that. But if you talk about an incandescent bulb, that would be sufficient, not only according to most poskim, not only to use for the mitzvah, but even to make a bracha on. Now, the question is, if we're not going to only rely on that, we're also going to light candles, so what is the relationship between our candles? And I don't know, how many watts do you think are coming out of our candles? Not much. And the thousands of watts which are coming out of our ceiling or our floor lights. So that's what we're going to get to in a second. Question, yes?
12 years ago, I was at a conference of Rabbanim, and it was Friday night, just before the Shkia, and the hotel didn't put out enough candles, and there weren't enough, and you couldn't get any more. So we had a Rabbanim there, and we were asked what to do. Some of the Rabbanim said to use their electric light to switch it on and off. The other Rabbanim said to blow one of somebody else's because everybody only needs one.
Ah, okay, that was last week's year, good. Okay, so the hotel thing, specifically about hotels, we're going to get to. Okay, and then you'll see what I would have done if I had been invited. I'm not a Choshev Rav, I wasn't invited. I also don't have the right accent, apparently. Yes. We at the same conference?
Not the same conference.
Oh, okay. Hotels we're going to get to, I promise. We're going to get to, it's what we're about to get to. Okay, we're about to get to. So that's all step one. So step two is, even if we're not so fancy, even if we're not so in a hotel, I'm actually going to be in a hotel for Shabbos with a seminary, not Choshev Rabbanim, but they're very Choshev girls. So I'm going to be there in spot for Shabbos. If anyone's going to be there, say hello. I'm not telling you exactly where. I said, if you find me, say hello. I'm just kidding. I'm going to the seminary hotel. If you know which one that is, it's not the Rimonim, okay? That's all I could say. It's not on the budget. Source number three, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, not speaking about electricity, but they're speaking about a relevant question, which is, what if you just have lots of women at the home, right? The mother and all of her daughters and daughter-in-law, there's lots of people lighting, sleeping over the house. So by the time the youngest daughter-in-law or daughter starts lighting, you know, her candles are drowned out. Can you still make a bracha if there's no benefit really to your light? The whole idea we saw last week was the light should bring hana, it's oneg Shabbos, it's shalom bayis. But what if your light is just drowned out by 20 other candles of people already lit already? So says the Shulchan Aruch about that question, number three, Beizu gimel balabatim, ochlim b'mokom echad, yesh omrim shekolechen mevarech al minero shalo, excuse me, v'yesh megam geim b'davar, v'nochol nizaher. The Safek Brachos of Elo Yevarech El Echad. Says the Shulchan Aruch, the Machaber's Psak, is that only one woman can make a bracha. The other woman could listen, they could say Amen, they could also light, of course they should light. Only one woman to make a bracha. However, before there's a heart attack in the room, since I'm not licensed to save anyone, the Ramah says, Abal Anu Ein Nehogin Kein. The Ramah disagrees, and the Ramah says, no. Now again, think about this for a minute. Again, we have to think big picture here. What's the debate about? The debate about is, again, even if your particular candles are being drowned out by other light sources, in this case, Ner Shabbos, but if you're not adding anything, so you still have to light, but the Shulchan Aruch says you wouldn't make a bracha on such a thing, Ashkenazic practice follows the Ramah, we would make a bracha. So now the question is that analogous to our modern contemporary situation? Right? Because in the assuming whether you, let's say you light in your kitchen or your living room or your dining room, the room that you're lighting in most likely has tons of light. And in the scheme of things, if someone just, you know, dropped in from Mars and you ask them, you know, oh, you can read, you can see clearly in this room, what do you attribute that to? Right? There isn't anyone who would ever say, oh yeah, it's those beautiful candles on the side. Right? It's not helping anything. Let's be honest. Let me finish, ladies. It's not helping anything. The question is, so, hayitachem? Should we still be? Again, I'm not saying you shouldn't like them. That's tradition, because we're not relying on the first sources. It's tradition. It's our minig. My mother lit a candle. My bubby lit a candle. But the question, are you allowed to make a bracha on this? So this is a question which was ola al shochan malachim. This became a major 20th century shaila. Once it became commonplace for everyone to have electricity in the home, the question then became, how do we assimilate this new technological reality, which for all intents and purposes is an unbelievable blessing for all of civilization, to have electricity and live it not in the darkness anymore. But how does that impact the halacha of Shabbos candles? So take a look at source number 4. Yet again, Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, a very prominent work. You can tell a lot about a work by the neighbors of the author. And it's a very well-known and highly regarded work. And Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa quotes a psak in the body of the text and a deeper discussion based on Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach in a footnote. And he says his following. He says, it's not so simple, ladies. Nechleku haposkim im evsher levarich ahalakas nero Shabbos b'mako ma'or. We have lots of light coming out of the ceiling. So who says there's any tachlis, there's any purpose to the candles that you're lighting? Maybe you can't really make a bracha on that.
Well, we light in the daytime. You don't have to have electric lights home when you light. It's still light out.
And therefore what?
The natural light from the sun.
Okay, so the question, also a question. So assuming that the candles are going to remain lit when it's dark,
right.
So in theory you'd be benefiting. The problem is you have 1,000 watts coming out of your ceiling. Mm-hmm. So before we see his psak, let's take a look at the footnote. In the third line, Kuf Aynal, footnote 171, Shamati mehagrashaz Orbach. He heard from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, the Tzarchin. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach was really bothered by this question. The Kashiyesh Or Chazak Ubahir, Harilaka Kalal Shum Simcha Yisera Mizeh. What are you, you're not gaining anything. The little one or two extra watts or whatever's coming out of the candles, how could that compete with all the candles that are being produced from the electricity? Emkein Eich Efshar Levarech Alzeh. So Shlomo Zalman Orbach fetched out a teretz. Ulai, maybe he said, Beglal shechazal kovus hashemen lehidur mitzvah. We saw at the end of last week's shir, even though really it's whole Mishnayos in the second parak of Masechet Shabbos, all these things are kosher for Shabbos candles, even if they're not kosher to eat, but they're kosher for Shabbos candles, unless it's an oil that's not going to produce a consistent flame, or it's a wick that can't hold the flame, the flickering, or it's a bad odor. That's in the Mishnayos, b'mem adlikin, it's in your siddur. But other than that, really everything would work, but there's a nice hiddur mitzvah of shemen and a hiddur mitzvah of shemen zayis, is fine. Therefore, says Rosh Hashanah Rabbach, in light of that, that shows that even though other things can produce the light, that hiddur is still around. It's just like if you're comparing, let's say, wax to oil or oil to olive oil, but there's a heater to do something even better. So even though technically you could be yotze with electricity coming out of the ceiling, but Rosh Hashanah Orbach's first suggestion is maybe the traditional heater of oil still would remain even nowadays. Furthermore, he says, v'gam, yedua v'nikar, this is a key point, shezel chvod Shabbos. Harizech shuvhanah v'gam simcha. He says, there's another difference, is that the electrical lights, the chandelier, that you have it on 7 nights a week. But this you're only doing on the night of Shabbos. So he there puts it as maybe that is a form of hana or simcha. And then he adds a third thing, gam nira, here the power goes to you. Mishum shekol hanashim anesuos makpidos ma'odo mitzvazu. Women are very, very careful and very strict when it comes to this mitzvah. V'lachein evshar shagam nasa k'minag choshuv. L'hosif neiros ke'ela. At the end of the day, I'll interpret what I think he's saying. Even despite the fact that we have all this electricity, getting back, and we had Rav Pesach Frank, and Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa, and Rav Soloveitchik, and others all saying that technically you could just be yotzei on lights come to ceiling, and yet Noshim Tidkanios for 100 years now are still lighting and lighting candles. That's the third reason that consistency of the women not to give up on the candles created a certain elevated status. It gave it a minhag, a status which it didn't even have until now. Ironically, the candles, and specifically using the Shabbos candles, take on a different dimension than it had for the hundreds and hundreds of years until now. The fact that we're still lighting despite the electricity gives it a certain extra minhag, and therefore you can make a bracha on that. Ladies, I'll share with you something I may have shared with you in the past, I don't remember, but something I had a Rebbe who taught me a very long time ago, which was very true, is still true. Whenever you're learning, the more answers and more explanations someone gives, the more indication it is that none of those are good answers. Because one good answer is better than 3 weak ones. No one gives 3 answers if the first one was good enough. And that's why I said before, with the greatest reverence, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is kvetching out an explanation. Because the truth is, it's a very good question. But Shlomo Zalman Auerbach nevertheless paskined that women could still light and make brachas on their candles. But still, it's a bissel of a kvetch. And therefore, one second. Therefore, go back now to the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa. Now go up to back to the first line where it's underlined. So what was the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa? That was the footnote. That's the background. Bottom line, what is the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa Paskin? Where it's underlined. First number 4. First line. Ha'isha tadlik et orach hashmal lechvod shabbat lifnei hadlakas haneros v'techavim v'birchasa gam al orzem. Now, you only appreciate this Pesach Rosh Hashanah Kochasa once you see 2 things. One is what Rosh Hashanah Rabach said, and B, if you acknowledge, as I said, that it was a little bit of a kvetch. Because if you really felt that everything Rosh Hashanah Rabach was saying was convincing, then you don't need to do that. You would just make a brach on the candles and the heck with the electric coming out of the ceiling. But you see, if you could read between the lines, Rosh Hashanah Rabach, he believed it. He wouldn't have said it, even believe it. But the question was better than the answer. So it says Rosh Hashanah Kochasa, instead of being forced to commit all the way and say, yes, I can make a bracha on candles, ignore the light coming out of the ceiling, says Shmuel Shabbos Kochasa, I have a better suggestion. Incorporate it. It's not an either or. Incorporate it. And therefore, this is not just a kind of a hidur. Some posts can feel as a chumrah, this is really necessary. Because at the end of the day, if you don't do this, so then you're really relying on this footnote in the Shmuel Shabbos Kochasa, it's a little bit hard. And therefore, the best thing to do is to have your cake and eat it too, to incorporate it. How does the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa suggest incorporating it? Before you light the candles, whatever lights are going to be in that room, make sure they're off. Off. Make sure they are off. Then, b'kavona, for code Shabbos, turn them on. Before you light, turn on the lights. Then, do everything we spoke about last week with the bracha and the and light your candles. And that way, through the power of nothing less and other than your mind, so your kavana, you'll incorporate all the watts coming out of the ceiling and kind of make that part of the mitzvah. This is not only the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa's suggestion. This is quoted by a number of other poskim in the Sefer, The Radiance of Shabbos, in source number 5, which is a classic work, classic, I mean, it's contemporary work, but it's gotten, I can't give it a strong endorsement. It's an excellent book. If you wanted to have a single book of English halacha on the topic of not only Shabbos candles, but all the mitzvahs of Shabbos, this is a book called The Radiance of Shabbos. It's the Purple Art Scroll Hilcha Shabbos book by Rav Simcha Bunim Cohn, who's a Rav in Lakewood. It's an excellent sefer, scholarly, but not too scholarly to scare away people, good footnotes, decent English even, well, that's from the footnotes. The footnotes are in Hebrew. From Simcha Bunim Kohn. I have other quotes on him on the page in English. That's the body of the text. The footnotes are in Hebrew. So here in the footnotes, first of all, he quotes a similar idea in terms of the Seder, of turn on the electric lights, then light your Shabbos candles. From Rav Moshe Feinstein, listen to me carefully. Turn on the electric lights, and then light the Shabbos candles. He quotes that from Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. And the basis of this, he actually has in a way that it's similar to Rosh Hashanah Orbach's second answer, but I like the formulation very much, so I gave it to you on the sheet, from the Kleisenberger Rebbe, from Netanya, the Sanz Kleisenberger Rebbe, who says, also he's very bothered at, what if we have an electric, what's the problem? So he says, no, the problem is itself the solution. Source number 5, where it's underlined. Zegufa, shemadlikin neros, havim mechabres haShabbos, mushemadlikin neros, mishuladam choshev, which is what I referred to you last week when I referred to it as a candlelit dinner. Right, when you have a candle at dinner, the chashivas of the candles isn't because now I can see the food from the candles. There's a certain ambiance that's given by the candles. So it says, the Kleisenberger Rebbe, again, I think this is in his second answer, this is what Rosh Hashanah Zalman Auerbach was referring to. The fact that we have the electric, so who needs the candles? The fact that we're lighting the candles is clearly not just for some pragmatic reason. That's the greatest indication that we're only doing it l'chavod, the Shabbos Malka, our very chashiv a guest. And therefore, since we saw, this is going back to last week's shir, one of the reasons that we have Shabbos candles, at least according to some poskim, is kavod Shabbos. So it's actually a greater kavod now, ironically, because we don't need the lights, The only reason we're doing them is L'chavod Shabbos. It makes it more clear. The only problem, again, with this, and this is probably where Shlomo Zalman or Orbach have other answers, is because that would only work if you see Kavod Shabbos as the basis of Shabbos candles. But we saw the other post-game, saw maybe it's Oneg Shabbos, Shalom Bayis, and then the electric lights are really taking care of that. So that's why you need the other answers. And again, that's why incorporating both into your mitzvah would be even better. I just want to point out as just so we have the full picture here, is source number 6, again from Nefesh HaRav, from Rav Schechter. So he quotes that Rav Soloveitchik also accepted this idea, namely that one should do both, have the electric and the candles, and you should, again, by the power vested in you as a Jewish woman, incorporate them both into your mitzvah. But Rav Soloveitchik actually had the order reversed. He said you should do, you know, have kavana with the, do your hands, make the brachos on the Shabbos candles, and then quickly go and then turn on the lights. Read number 6. Ba'or b'zer Rabbeinu detzleinu kimat tamid kenhu shehaner chashmali bo'er kol hayom ukshaba balar habayit lahadnik neros Shabbos aleha lachavot tchilat ner chashmali. Turn off the electric light first. Ulahadli kan neros. Ulahaksur ulahadli kasaner chashmali ba'achar kach lebarit. So you say, again, unlike... Unlike Rav Moshe Feinstein or Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, who said that first you turn on the electric lights, then do the candles, Rav Soloveitchik held that the order was the opposite, that first you light the candles, then you do the electric. In my experience, most of the women, whether they realize it or not, follow the Rav Moshe Feinstein Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa order, but if you do it the other order, there's a svara you could have, and you certainly have Ilan Gadol. Yes. Okay, so that either way, the point is what you see from this is that, again, to the extent that we care about the Oneg or the Shalom Bayis, which are the practical benefits of the light, to the extent that we care about that, all the answers that the Kleisenberger Rebbe tries or Shlomo Zalman Orbach tries, they're a little bit of a kvetch. And therefore, if you have to rely on it, yesh al mi lismoch, let's say, for example, a person didn't think about it at all. Or maybe there really is, you know, they just have all this light, they didn't even think about it, they just lit the candles, which is probably the average woman in the street who doesn't know about any of this stuff. So, yesh al mi lismoch, that's the footnote of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that's the footnote of the Kleisenberger Rebbe. But now that you are learned women, women of the book, women of Landers, so you know better. So now, this is the recommendation. If you don't do it, and you tell me, I've been having doing this for 60 years or 50 years, I'm not going to do it now. Okay, so you have somebody to rely on. But if you ask me what's the best thing to do, what do we do in my home? Assume we remember, but we try to remember. And again, yesh al mi lismoch, but this is, I do think this is the right thing to do. Again, that way when you make the bracha, your bracha will go on everything. Whether you go the Soloveitchik order and you do the electric second, or you do the Rav Moshe Feinstein order and you do the electric first, I'm not even sure like how to analyze that distinction. To me, it's almost 6 1/2 dozen of the other. But either way, when you make the bracha on both, so that will incorporate them both into the mitzvah. Okay.
Can I say something? Like emotionally, because I did that with do the candles first when the room is still dark.
That's more powerful.
It's more powerful.
Dark though.
Okay. No, she turned off the lights.
Oh, what about the candles?
Okay. Anyway, let's move on, ladies. A lot to do. You're all very friendly. I know you love to schmooze. You're all very, this I know for sure. I assume that Baruch Hashem, you invite people over to your house, and every now and then they even reciprocate, and you get invited out. And the question is, where should you light? So again, you're going to sleep at home, they don't like you that much. But food they're going to give you. So I invite you over to eat dinner. The question is, where should you light? So this is a big discussion in the post-game, and the big debate is whether you light where you eat or you light where you sleep. So take a look at source number 7, the Ramah. The Ramah is discussing, again, ladies, you have to listen carefully. The Ramah is not discussing invitations. The Ramah is discussing in your own house. What room should you light in? What room should you light in your own house? But this will be the basis for the guest question. So the Ramah says in source number 7, what's the main place to light? Al HaShulchan. Now the poskim say it does not have to be literally Al HaShulchan. It means somewhere near the food, somewhere that you can benefit when you're eating your Seudas Shabbos. Now, it's key to understand. Clear. The Ramah is talking about where you are going to eat and sleep in the same place. The question is it even true if you're not sleeping there. Meaning, if I'm going to eat at my neighbor down the block, so the Ramah says the ikkar is supposed to be by the shulchan, so maybe I should light by my neighbor. That's going to be, I'll benefit from that while I'm eating. I'll have in mind, she'll turn on one light, I'll turn on the other light, we'll both do like this with the candles together. Maybe I should do that. That's the Ramah al ha-shulchan, that's near the table. Or should I say no, even though usually I have the light while I'm eating my dinner, but here I'll eat by my neighbor, I'll have her candles, and but I'll light at my house in the room that I'm sleeping, not that I'm having my Suda Shabbos. So that is the question. Even though preferably we always try to have it near the food, but in this case, if I'm not going to be eating at home, is it still true? So here, I can't say that there's no one who argues, but to me, what I was always taught, so I will call it the consensus, is the opinion, not only Meir Beim, but it's quoted, this Rabbi Simcha Bunim Kohn, I think, quotes the same thing from Moshe Feinstein that he heard from him, and I think one of the most comprehensive treatments of it is actually a very beautiful tshuva that was written in source number 8, we'll only read parts of it together, by Rabbi Menashe Klein Zatzal. We've quoted him, I think it was a week or two ago. Menashe Klein was from the, yes, who was in Brooklyn for many years after the war, and then actually started a kehila in one of the Ramots. And just died not that long ago. He was one of the real prominent Hungarian Hasidic Rabbanim post-war. So Rav Menashe Klein, in source number 8, raises this question, and he rules, as Rav Moshe Feinstein did, that the right thing to do is to light in your own home. Not to light where you're eating out, but to light in your own home. So first let's discuss why that is, and then we'll discuss the practicality of how that should be done. So the why, let's begin the tshuva here. Number 8. Ma shenira derishona aleinu lidrosh b'ikra tikkun haneros, me'ezatam tiknu halikaneros. He says, if you really want to know the question, you have to start at the beginning. Why are we lighting to begin with? And we have a number of reasons. Tam achas mishum shezeh bechlal oneg sudas alayla. It helps you enjoy the meal better. Kesh ochel b'li nera, ein lo oneg kol kach, right? You don't, how enjoyable is the meal going to be if you're sitting in the dark? Avon ein ochel b'beiso, v'rak yashon b'beiso. What if you're eating out? You're very popular, you get invited out, but you're going to sleep at home. Mikom makom, what's his psak, as I said? Madlik bebeso. So first of all, bottom line, psak, he says, light at your home, not your host where you're eating out. Shehu yashan shem, where you're sleeping, umavarech, and that's where you make the bracha. Why? Vahatam, tariyesh otamim lahalakaneros. Because if the only reason would be oneg, and oneg is associated with the food, then taka, you light at your hosts. And that's why I say, it could be there's a posek out there who would be so committed to the oneg reason, so maybe that would be the ruling. But says Rav Menashe Klein, we're not so definitively convinced that that's the right thing. We saw from the Rambam last week, maybe they're both true. And then we have the Shalom Bayis, a third thing. We have a lot of reasons for Shabbos candles. So says Rav Menashe Klein, we have to do something that can try to incorporate all of them. And therefore he says, if we'll light only in our host's house, what will be the result? Ein Shalom Bayis below there. We won't have the Shalom Bayis in our own house. And how do you know that Shalom Bayis, the practicality of having just light, so as we said, we don't stub our toes, we don't bang ourselves and get hurt. How do we know that that's a salient part of the Shabbos candle mitzvah, and that it's not just about the oneg and the food? He says, I'll prove it to you. What's our practice? We light on Yom Kippur or not? There's no oneg sudas Yom Kippur. And yet we, again, it's not in the Rishonim, it was a debate. But our practice is that we light with the bracha before Yom Kippur. So you see, says Rav Menashe Klein, that it's not just about the oneg and the food, that there's a kavod for the Yom Tif, there's a shalom bayis, and a shalom bayis in this context, not meaning sheva bracha speech, meaning you shouldn't stub your toe, you don't want to get beat up as you're walking through your house in the pitch black. Says Rav Menashe Klein, therefore, I'm in a little bit of a pickle. If I go with the oneg thing, I'll have to light where I'm eating, at my host's. But then I won't have the candles where I need them for my shalom bayis and the kavod in my own house. So says Rav Menashe, how do I break this logjam? Very simple. At the house, I'm going to have oneg anyway. Because my host is going to light. If the choice would be between eating in the dark or sleeping in the dark. So that, he says, I don't know what he would answer, but he says that's a false choice. We don't have to choose that. Here we could rely on my hostess's candles for the oneg. It'll be a delicious meal with lots of light. But she's lighting for me there. But who's going to light for me at my house if I'm lighting there? Nobody. And therefore, he says, the better thing, this is also exactly the same cheshbon that Rav Moshe Feinstein makes, therefore, better to rely on my hostess where I'm going and light in my own house, so that way I'll have the shalom bayis, the benefits of the light in my own house. Lechein, okay, anyway, that's the first thing. That's the first 4 or 5 lines. That's his first point. Now, his second point is, but if that's the whole, if that's the point, if that's the reason, we're saying you need benefit of light in your own house, well, how am I going to benefit from the light if I, how long does my candle, let's say my candles usually last an hour and a half. Well, unless it's a very bad, depending on the age of the people, sometimes even a good meal can be found. But certainly with young kids and stuff, usually these meals schlep and they schlep. And again, if you have nice conversation and you're enjoying yourself and it's good food, by the time you get home, most likely the lights will be out. So the whole purpose of lighting at house was I should benefit Shalom Bayis, but says Rashi Klein, I'm not even going to benefit from them. So he gives three suggestions, and for the sake of time, I'm going to paraphrase it, but you can take a look, it's all inside. He gives three suggestions. The first suggestion, which is perhaps the easiest, is you light, you're 18, you're 20 minutes before Shkia, but who said they want you over so early? You know, you ever have guests, some guests stay too late, some guests come too early. So, some are machmir. Chumra is the word of the generation, so some are machmir. We once had guests who were, I was sweeping the floor after lunch, and they were lifting up their feet to let me go by. My wife looked at me and was like, people just don't get a clue. What are you going to do? No, they're good people in other ways. So, says number one is, you light before Shkia, you're 18, you're 20 minutes, but stay as long as you get some benefit from the light after Shkia. It's not enough, he says, just to do it right before, but if you just, you should wait a little bit, but you stay 15, 20 minutes, be well, bye bye. Davin, read, talk to whoever's at the house still, get some benefit, and then walk over. That's the easiest thing. But let's say you don't want to do that. After all, we discussed 2 weeks ago, like going to the Kotel, let's say you want to drive to your hostess's house. So then you can't do, so if you can't get Tanai, but still, I'm not going to benefit. I'm leaving before Shkia. So says a second possibility. Get long candles. And the truth is, if you have these, like, things that with the color, you know, with the paraffin, if you fill those up, those last for hours. It's a good simmon. It's a good simmon. If you come back and that paraffin light, if you filled up your thing, and it's out, you stay too long. That's a new litmus test for being a good guest. In fact, I think I mentioned that my children were so excited because we only light two in my house, but one of the wicks was frayed last week. So even though we filled them up pretty much exactly equivalent, but because one of the wicks was frayed, it was barely flickering a light, unfortunately. It didn't go out, it actually flickered, but it kept, so it consumed much less of the paraffin. When my son, my 10-year-old, woke up on Shabbos morning, I hear him screaming, "The candle's still burning!" It was the Shabbos miracle of Ramat Beit Shemesh. The candle was still burning. He wanted to run home from shul 2 hours later to see, is the candle still burning? I said, "Yosef, it's gonna be out, I promise." He was very excited. Miracle on Engedi Street. Anyway. So, second possibility is use lots of paraffin, or use long candles, and then he says, when you'll come home, before you quickly run to go to sleep, read a book, daven a little bit, do something, have 2 minutes, benefit a little bit from that light. And the third possibility is something that we've been talking, which totally works with what we've been saying until now, which is if you incorporate the electric light into your mitzvah, you had in mind, you made the bracha on both the electric light and the candles, so then even if the candles are out by the time you come home, again, you can't just quit, like this, go and go to bed, but you should get some benefit from the electric light. And it does not just have to be in the dining room. That Shabbos clock could have gone off. It could be in the bathroom. Any light which you turned and left on for Shabbos, not by accident. Not because your 10-year-old never turns off his lights, no matter how many times you tell him. You think I'm talking about my family? I'm talking about your family. Oh, my family also. Yes. It's not only my family, right? So, how many times do you have to tell them? That doesn't count. But if you turned it on, the light, and you left it on, L'chavot Shabbos, that's also part of the mitzvah. That's the Shalom Bayis part of the mitzvah. Right? That's not by the table. That's not, doesn't give such a covenant, but that's the practical thing. I don't want to stub my toe in the bathroom or the bedroom. So that's why we leave lights on. That's a mitzvah. Leaving the lights on, the kavanah for Shabbos, is all part of the mitzvah. So as long as you get benefit from something, that is the way to go. Okay, so all of that helps in case you're invited out to Shabbos. Again, l'chachila, I think you should incorporate your electric into your mitzvah. Again, just have it in mind. Turn it on right before you light. It's the easiest thing to do, and it's a big hidur on the front end, and if you get invited out, on the back end, it'll help you, because you can rely on the electric when you get home. If you're not going to do that, then you should make sure to either benefit before you go, or leave enough so that it is, when you come back, there is enough time. Okay, we're running late, but let's see how much further we can get to. That was all if somebody is nice enough just to invite you out. But what if they invite you to sleep over? You're going away for Shabbos. Do you have to light your own candles, or can you rely on the Baal HaBasta, your hostess, to light before you. So this is a discussion in the poskim. It actually seems to be a little bit of a contradiction in the Shulchan Aruch. But in source number 9, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, who's the Shulchan Aruch HaRav? The Alta Lubavitcher Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. But this Sefer is learned by all Jews, even those who are not from Chabad. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav Paskins, what seems to be the pretty much the accepted psak, but it's not just the psak, it's the analysis that he gives, which is so helpful, says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav in source number 9. He says there's two issues here. Im hismucha al shulchan balabayis, eina yichol levarech shem, ela im kein. Im hismucha al shulchan balabayit, eina yichol levarech shem, ela im kein cheder miyuchad la. The first thing he says is there's no real obligation to light, assuming that you will have benefit from your hostess's lights. When he refers to the cheder miyuchad, he doesn't mean sleeping in a dorm as opposed to having your own bedroom. It's not that simplistic. And when he says cheder miyuchad, he means you're sleeping in someone else's house, like in a youth hostel or something. You know, they give you a room, but they don't want to see you, and you don't see them. That, so then you're not benefiting at all from her candles, and of course you have to light on your own. But if you were a guest, you know, who has some relationship with your hostess, and you're eating with them, and et cetera, et cetera, so then he says you're not obligated to light at all. She'im lo kein, eina chayevet klal lahadlik sham. Again, if it's not that you're by yourself, meaning if you are with her, then you don't have to light at all. Lefi shehi bechlal b'nei beso, because you meaning the woman or the family who's the guest, you become a member of their house. And ever, just like the mother lights on behalf of all the members of her family biologically, if you're the guest, then the mother's lighting on behalf of you as well, etc. Now, that is the Ikra Din Psak. The letter of the law of Psak, you should just know, if you're sleeping over at someone's house in a normal, friendly way, they're good friends, they're your children, they're your grandchildren, you're together for Shabbos, they come to you, you go to them, the guests are not technically obligated to light. And that is the accepted halacha. Nevertheless, in source number 10 in the book Radiance of Shabbos, he points out that there's halacha and then there's women. And who is stronger? You know the answer to that question. And the women are not willing to give up this mitzvah. Mm-hmm. Even when the rabbis tell them they don't have to light, the women are still lighting. Even when the rabbis tell them they don't have to make a bracha, they still want to make the bracha. And this has become the accepted minhag, not the halacha, but the accepted minhag. As he points out in number 10, it is customary that all married women light their own candles and recite the bracha. He points out it's really superfluous, it's really not necessary, but it is the minhag, and it is considered acceptable. If you can, it would be, it's not always practical, but he suggests as a hidur to light in a little bit different place than the hostess, so there could be some differentiation and maybe on some level some benefit that is more attributable to you than to her. Let's say, again, you're in a woman's home who knows these halachos, so she's also incorporating her electric light, so maybe if there's more than one switch that could be flipped, so maybe you could incorporate that. So better, he says, if there could be something that you do which will really be giving an additional benefit to the house. That would make the bracha a little bit easier to swallow. But even if you don't, bottom line, halacha l'maisa, the post can allow, the minhag is, for women to light, even with a bracha, even when she's a guest. But you should just be aware, technically speaking, it is not truly necessary. That is when you're a guest at someone else. Again, most people don't know this because everyone's lighting. But you should be aware that when you're lighting as a guest, it's not the same thing as when you're lighting in your own house. You're not really chayevis. Yes?
If somebody came to someone else's house and they forgot to light there because they went for a tiyul or something, and then as a result they took on that extra minhag, does that mean it's not necessary?
The last few sources. Oh. Then we're going to get to it, okay? Everything about forgetting, including what you just said, is at the bottom, okay?
So,
huh? No, I'm telling you, he himself says in a footnote, and even if he didn't say, he's not the only posik in the world. Again, it's better. But again, you could also listen to the Baal, you could also listen to her and say Amen too. But it's a pretty strong minhag for women to light, make their own bracha anyway. Haraya, you probably never met anyone who didn't. But you should just understand where it's coming from, and again, this is, I wasn't being facetious, the sheer force of the power of the women who are not willing to give up this mitzvah. It's not, that's not the only time. Another example, hotels. People ask about hotels. So here I'm going to totally hide behind the book. In case anyone's going to get upset with what I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to quote the book. My Rebbeim have told me the same thing, but I don't want you to be upset at them. So you could just be upset at the book. In the Ratings of Shabbos, he points out something which is virtually muskum among Rabbanim, even though the hotels and the tour companies have not got on board, and not all families have been willing to accept it. But the problem is, in most, I didn't say all, but in most hotel setups, whether it's a Yom Tov hotel, or a Shabbos hotel, or a Shabbaton hotel, or a very premier rabbinic conference hotel, in most of the cases, they do not set things up appropriately. Because, not because they're obtuse, sometimes they are, and not only because they're ignorant halakhically, even though sometimes they are, but because of the fire hazard. So they don't, because of, for good reasons, but what that ends up doing is they want to cordon off the fire away from everyone as much as possible, and they sometimes put you in some side room. I remember when we were going to a hotel in Florida when I was a kid, I remember I was in the Crown Hotel, Olav HaShalom, on Collins Avenue in Miami Beach, and I remember we went there for Pesach one year, and like you got off the elevator and to the left, if you walked a while, it was this huge dining room, but the candles were, when you got off the elevator, to your right. A teeny little room, which you felt like 500 degrees when you walked in. Because all the, no one spent more than a millisecond there, because it was way too hot. So you lit, then you ran away. This is not really correct halachically. You really, ideally, should be lighting next to your table. You can't do that, or in your room. But you can't do, you can't really do either of those. So what should you do? So the real correct thing to do, says the Radiance of Shabbos, again, this is not me. This is the Radiance of Shabbos. If you can't light by your table or in your room, you should fulfill your obligation by turning on an electric light in your room.
And making the bracha then?
Yes. Yeah. Rav Moshe Feinstein, I haven't mentioned this previously. We saw from Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa and others who talked about in the beginning of this year making a bracha on electric light. Rav Moshe Feinstein allows you doing the mitzvah on electric light. Rav Moshe Feinstein is one of the only poskim who to this day did not want you to make a bracha on it. So if you have a real masar to be like Rav Moshe, that's fine. But most other poskim allow you not only to fulfill the mitzvah on electric, but even to make the bracha only on electric.
What is fluorescent?
I said, I'm talking about incandescent. I'm not talking about fluorescent. Fluorescent doesn't count. Fluorescent is like magic.
It's the only lights in the bathroom.
So what? Why not? And therefore, what you should do... They're not yelling at me. I'm not the one.
They were making noise earlier in the first class.
Okay. What you should do... is, again, have that light off. Get some light you're going to benefit in your room. Typically it would be a bathroom light. Maybe you're keeping on a night table light. And then, you could, again, in my opinion, even assuming it's a candle light, you can even make a bracha on it. And if not, worst comes to worst, don't make the bracha. But then turn it on, l'chavod Shabbos, and make sure to get some benefit from it. Now, if you do all of that, and, as I say, because it's in the DNA of women that they don't want to give up lighting candles, and you want to go downstairs and light in one of these side rooms anyway... So there's nothing, you know, there's no harm in lighting, but I would be very queasy about the prospect of making a bracha on that candle. Unless it's going to be in some situation where you really feel that not only are you going to get benefit from the candles, but especially from your candles, if it's with 500 other candles in a room which you're going to leave 2 seconds later, maybe you have a rabbi who will tell you to make a bracha on it. I could not. So if you want to do that also, I could tell you, Lamaisa in my family, when my mother travels with us, she always asks me, because each time it's harder for her to believe, so she asks me again and again and again. So... it's one of the few times where my wife listens to me more than my mother, but in my family they know, because every now and then we used to go to hotels, but since we made Aliyah, we've had the opportunities to go to hotels for various Yom Tovim, going back this Yom Tov, and my wife lights on the in the hotel. If you keep 2 days, so then you could do both the first night. What do you do the second night? Meaning you could light downstairs if you want, and do the electric light. But it comes from Yom Tov Sheni, or if it's if it's a Yom Tov going into a Shabbos. So I heard from Rav. This is not in the book, but I heard this from my own ears from Rav Herschel Schechter. He says you don't light at all. You're potter. You're an ones. You can't light because to light he holds it's nothing. If you want to light, fine. But he would hold it's usher to make a bracha on those candles downstairs. You can't turn on and off your light for Yom Tov Sheni or for Shabbos. Again, going into a second day when you have a hole that's erev, that's what we're telling you to do. You should use the electric. Now again, I said don't be upset at me. I have said nothing. It's all in the book. Which I already recommended, but it's all in the book. Yes, quickly, because I want to move on.
What you're saying is that you put the candle, the light on the light on in the bed, in the hotel room, and you make the bracha.
No, so that's what I said. Do the bathroom light or a hallway light.
But how do you make a bracha in a bathroom light? You have to go out. You don't make it in a bathroom.
So what? I mean, you're standing right outside. I don't know about you, but I very much benefit from the light in my bathroom. I'm willing to go on a limb there. That's the answer. That's sufficient. Again, if it's more mechubad to do your night table, you know, if you have one of those little light, or bring one of those Shabbos lights. What we try to do now, not only for halachic reasons, but for the benefit of the kids and other things, we bring those lights. I didn't make a bracha, but you could bring that light too. Okay, so don't make a bracha on that. I'm saying, but the bathroom light, if that's it, and if not, then you're just putter, according to the book and other poskim, who you could be upset at, but not me. Okay. No, I don't think so. I don't know enough about the technology, but I don't think so. Okay, Lex, let's move on, ladies. What if the husband and the wife are in different places? Let's say the husband and the wife are in different places. So let's take one case, the easier case, which is the wife is at home and the husband is away. Okay, that's an easier case. So says the Bir Halacha in source number 12. If he who oneno beito, he's not in his house. So he says, Hasvara the Mishum Shalom Bayis Ein Shayosham Shari Balav Hachi. Yeshamar, meaning he's assuming wherever you are. Let's say that the husband is away for Shabbos, someone's hosting him. So the house where he's staying, the woman is lighting. So he doesn't have to worry if he's going to stub his toe, because they're going to provide him light. So what's left? The mitzvah of owning Shabbos. V'lo nishar alav ki'im b'mash yesh mitzvah al kol ish yisra halak in their Shabbos. Aside from the practical benefit of the light, there's the mitzvah of actually lighting. So, but that he doesn't have to either. Again, so he points out, as we've seen until now, there's two factors. There's the kavod slash oneg of the mitzvah per se, and then there's the shalom bayis slash benefit of the light. So if a man is staying, if he's in a hotel room by himself, so then he has to turn on the light for himself. We'll get to that in a second. For the practical need of having shalom bayis, of having light, he shouldn't be in the dark over Shabbos. But take the easy case. He's at someone's house. Someone's hosting him for Shabbos. So for the practical issues, he has the person who's lighting in the house that he's staying in. And for the mitzvah, as long as his wife is at home, she lights, it's okay. Now, important caveats. This is only true if she is at home. It is not true. Rabbi Yashia, for example, has a psak explicitly. If both husband and wife are both razzle-dazzle business people, and they're both at conferences, and he's in this hotel and she's in that hotel, then neither of them could be motzi each other. They both would have to light mikra adin. But if she, and this is no gender discrimination, it would be true if the woman is traveling and the husband is home, which is the typical case of a hospital. Let's say, Kanai Nahara for a baby. Let's think of good things. Woman's in the hospital over Shabbos for a baby. I had that twice, two of my children. So husband's at home. So the basic, just like if the husband's traveling, when she lights at home, that's motzi her husband on the basic mitzvah. If she's away, let's say in the hospital, and the husband's at home and he lights, that's motzi her. But there's a second factor of practically this shalom bayis, the need for light. So if you're in someone's house who's lighting, you're at someone's hosting you for a Shabbos, so then she lit. And if you're by yourself in the hospital, so the stomach will be light anyway, but if you want, also hit her, so make sure to turn on and off a light, you know, if you can. Sometimes a woman's not in a condition to worry about it, but if she can, then she should make sure to turn on and off a light lechavod Shabbos. But that's not, she doesn't need to make a bracha on that. Again, if she wants to, assuming that it's incandescent, then she could, the same way she could if she was sleeping over at someone's house. But mi'ikar hadin, she's yotze with her husband at home. Just like the husband who's away is yotze with his wife at home. But again, the two important caveats are, number one, this is only true if the spouse is at home. Home base is the key here. If neither of them are at home, then you're both free agents, you're on your own. But if one is at home, that takes care of mikron of the other one. And number two is, the Minchas Yitzchak, Dayan Weiss, and others point out, this would only be true even if the one who's away from home is in the same time zone as the one who is at home. Two different cities in the same time zone, they're okay with. But in different time zones, the husband is, sometimes I go, both of us, in both cases, sometimes my wife goes to the States without me, sometimes I go to the States with her. We try never to travel together, you know. But, halavai we could, but our schedules sometimes are incongruous. So I've been in the States in recent years without her, and she's been in the States twice a year, every year we've been here, for recruiting for her seminary without me. So there, you can't say, well, because I'm at home, lighting Shabbos 6 hours before her, 7 hours before, that does not count. But assuming that the one spouse is at home, and it's in the same time zone, then technically speaking, you're yotzei. In terms of having light, the shalom bayis issue, as long as there'll be light, especially if you're staying at someone else's house for Shabbos, like if my wife goes away, so she stays at her parents' house for Shabbos. So she's not chayv at all to light. But of course, she lights with a bracha. Because women will not give up the mitzvah of Shabbos candles. But mi'ikr hadin, the spouse who's away, assuming it's the same time zone, is yotzei with the candles of the spouse who is at home. And that is what you see, as I say, in this basic issue here in source number 12, the Bir Halacha. And then you have the Simcha Bunim Kohen, the radiance of Shabbos, in source number 13, just giving the application of it to a woman in the hospital. But it's, again, it's not unique to the hospital. It's unique to a woman out of the house, which is the same thing as a man out of the house. If the other spouse is at home, then technically speaking, the lighting of the one who's at home will be most used. So we only have a few minutes left. What?
If it's not the same time zone, then it doesn't.
That each person has then their mechuyev to light. There. Now, again, so say, the one, the, again, let's just make sure we're clear. The one who's away from home, let's call it the husband. So does he? So he's not yotzei with his wife. But that doesn't mean he has to light. It depends on where he is. If he's sleeping over at someone else's house, then the balabasta will light, then that should be motziyim. It's hype, but if you want to in shamayim, where did he get his halakas neros points? So if it's not the same time, he's not getting it from his wife. But if it is, then he would be. Okay? Now, let's... I don't know if we covered everything, but we covered close to everything we could think of about Shabbos candles. So that's all about how to light, when to light, who should light, why to light, etc.
Where?
What if you forgot to light? So that's what we have. 12 minutes left or so. Let's see if we can get through that. Now, again, here we're also just giving all the highlights. There's enough material that I could have given a shiur just on this, but let's focus on this basic halacha. Again, when I was growing up, I don't remember this ever happening in my house. But lots of things happen that kids don't know about in homes, so I can't say for sure that it never happened. But I didn't ever think it ever happened. The first time I ever heard of it actually happening, not just being something written in a Shulchan Aruch somewhere, when I started getting like one or two calls a year when I became a shul rabbi, you know, there was always a few people who it happened to. I assumed that if two or three people called me every year, it probably happened to 10. But seven of them were too embarrassed to call. And figure they know the halacha anyway, they don't want to embarrass people. I don't think there could be a case of gross negligence where a person really could be embarrassed about their own behavior. Anything's possible. But the truth is, most cases, I'm talking about good people, even if they forgot, it's not something that should be so embarrassing. But unfortunately, people are very embarrassed, and they don't always call. Plus, they figure they know what the rabbi's going to tell them anyway, it's what they need to call for. But just as I've said to many women when it comes to chos nida, please call. The worst that could happen is it'll be as machmir as you think it will be. Because all women who are too embarrassed to call, 98% of them are more machmir than the rabbi would be. This is for sure true in Hilchos Nida. I have 100 stories about that. But it's also true about this, because as you'll see, half the time the women forgot, and then were too embarrassed to call the rabbi. If they had called the rabbi would have told them it doesn't matter. But when does it matter, when doesn't matter? Let's see. The basis of all of this is not in the Shulchan Aruch, it's not in the Rambam, it's not in the Rishonim, it's not in the Gemara. It is much, much more recent, much more closer to the time of the Ramah, where the Ramah quotes one of the earlier, even before him, Ashkenazic real heavyweights known as the Maharil. In a source number 14, the Maharil is quoted, and he is the origin of this idea. Isha sheshakacha v'lo hilika ner b'shabes shetzricha kayameha lahusif al haner shal mitzvah yoser. He assumes that you were talking about a woman who lit two, and therefore he says forever and ever, if she forgot one Shabbos to light, she now has to light three. He took it so seriously, ladies, he says she also has to fast, do vidui. He takes this very, very seriously. But here's the key point, ladies. Look at the middle of the second line, number 14. This is now no longer the Maharil, this is the Ramah, Ramosha Isserlish, the father of Ashkenazic halachic practice. He is not buying it for a second. This is a way too much of a chumrah. Arab, on the contrary, again, as we saw last week, the real minhag is two candles, and two candles aren't arbitrary. It's Zohar v'shomer. So what are you going to do, three now? There's three dibros? Three times Shabbos is two is a reason. Sometimes less is more. And therefore, says the Ramah, I don't like this thing. This minhag that Maharil says he has a knas, he's punishing the women who forgot. Sometimes it's mosif goreya. You're ruining it. You're ruining the whole Zohar v'shomer angle. But, so that's step two of the halachic process. Step number one is the Maharil, he lays down the line, women who forget, they have a knas, they're punished the rest of their lives. Says the Ramah, I don't like it, not just because I don't like it, because it's halachically problematic. So who's going to break the tie between the Ramah and the Maharil? The women! And what do you think the women said? We want to be machmir on ourselves. Says the Ramah, this is an unbelievable line. It was worth coming to this series just for this one line, if nothing else. Aval hanashim nohagos kedivrei Maharil. What could I say, says the Ramah? I tried and I tell them they don't have to, and the women are going to do it anyway. Because you cannot mess with women when it comes to Shabbos candles. The rabbis are just okay if you don't beat us up, but we're not deciding anything when it comes to Shabbos candles, because each time the women have to decide, because they're not going to listen. And as it so happens, no matter how many times the rabbis tell them, you don't have to light when you're a guest, you don't have to add an extra candle, the women say, thank you, but no thank you, we're going to do it anyway. And therefore, now that you know this background, this is the Rama writing in his first commentary, known as the Darkei Moshe, that's a little bit longer. In the actual Shulchan Aruch, in source number 15, fascinating, it's like, put on your Sherlock Holmes hat, it's all gone. All of the drama of the last 2 minutes is gone, and in a very dry, straightforward way, says Rama, source number 15, Ha'isha sheshakocha pamachas lahadlik, adlekes kol yemeha gimel neiros. All the drama, all the fun is gone, and you just have to light three candles. But don't blame anyone but yourselves. Because if the women would have listened to Rama in Krakow originally, then it would never have gotten on the books in the Rama and Shulchan Aruch. But since the women didn't listen to the Rama, so Rama gave up. He said, no mas. A pasuk like the women. You see again, he says three candles. Three is arbitrary. Three meant because he assumed you lit two. If you have 12 candles, because Kanayin Ara, you have 10 children, excuse me, so then you light 13 or 14, whatever the number is. But you add one, says the Rama again, it's based on the Ma'aril. But really, 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 the reason it still exists as a present minhag is not because of the Ma'aril, it's because of the women. Now, what is the basis of all of this? Now that we're doing it, what is the basis? So says the Mishnah Berurah in source number 16. First of all, you should know, and this is, you know, there are shlamiels in the world, but there are also people who are shlamiel and shlamazel. Some people forget once, and some people forget twice, and the third time. Says the Mishnah Berurah, if you got, once you're going to get women, you wanted this? Well, you're going to have to take it. Im shakacha kama pamim, shrikha lahosif b'chol pam. Oh, never. Right? So if someone could come, they'll see 15 candles, they'll say, wow, you must have a lot of tuition. No problem. I got three kids. I'm a very busy woman. I always forget. Says the Mishnah. Now, what is the basis of all this? Where have it underlined? Hako? Mishum knas. It was like a fine. Kadesh tehe zehira b'chvod Shabbos. So, the idea here, this is very important. The idea here is negligence. A person is negligent. And again, what's the purpose of candles? So one of the big issues was kavod Shabbos. A person is negligent in kavod Shabbos. They just got too busy and they just forgot something. They were, you know, relaxing, you know, because that's what you do on Fridays, right? You just relax, your feet up, a little cafe hafuch, maybe a little biscuit on the side. Who has time to light candles? So says the Ma'aril and said the women, tis tisk, give you a knas, you have to add a candle. Now, why am I stressing this? Because now that you know the why, you'll understand all the why nots. Says the Mishnah Berurah, but that's the only time. However, he says, if Im Kain, Val Kain, excuse me, second line in source number 16, Im Nansa, Velo Hidlika, let's say something wasn't negligence, something happened beyond her control. For example, Kigon, Shai Seba Beis HaYisurim, because that happens all the time, you're in jail, and you get let out right before Shkia. So in such a case, Uchayotseba, or any similar such cases, Ein Sarach Losev, then there's no punishment. Again, it's not arbitrary, you missed, automatically add one. It's a deliberate decision, again, by the minhag, generated by the women, to punish someone who was negligent. But if you weren't negligent, it was circumstances out of your control, then there's no reason to, quote-unquote, give you a knas, give you a little fine. So the Mishnah Berurah gives this, how shall I say, hopefully very uncommon example of getting out of jail. But what would be a more common example? So if you take a look in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, very fine work. Or, coming from a completely different perspective, the Sefer Piskei Tshuvos, which is the son of the Biala Rebbe, not a nice yakka from Baivagan. So, yes, but the Sefer Piskei Tshuvos is from the Biala Hasidim. So, but both of them give much more contemporary, current examples. So I'll give you two, which are very practical. Number one is someone who got too busy with the kids. Right? The kids are jumping all over the place, and before you know it, it's too late. So, again, would it be better to have good time management? Would it be better to have a husband who's more helpful? Lots of things would be good in life. But bottom line is, would we look at such a person and say, you were negligent? You don't care about Kavod Shabbos? Of course not. So that woman may be too embarrassed to call her rabbi, but if she would have, the rabbi would tell her, you don't have to light an extra one. There's no knas for you. Now, he might try to help her strategize. This shouldn't happen again. But lamaisa, that's not negligence. Or, another example, let's say you were eating out Friday night for dinner, and you are under the mistaken impression that it's okay, you'll just be yotzei with the woman who's lighting there, and therefore you didn't light. Or any other such thing where you genuinely had a halachic thought, which ended up being a mistake. So it wasn't that you didn't think about it. It wasn't that you were negligent. You just didn't know the right halacha. So better you should come to Landers and learn the right halacha. But until the next semester, that's not negligence. That's not poshea. So there are cases which are gray. Right? I went to who knows what on Friday morning, and that's why I was running so late with all the kids on Friday afternoon. So that's why I say, ask a shayla. And I can't, I was going to say I can't guarantee that everyone will get the same answer. I can honor them. I'll guarantee that two women who ask two different rabbis might get two different answers. Okay, but that's nothing new here. But the point, just you should know where it's coming from. Any rav who knows the halacha will be trying to grapple with and analyze, is this a case which could really be considered a posheya? Woman was negligent? Very rare. But if so, okay, then taka, she's going to get the knas. But most cases, in my opinion, are not going to meet that standard. That's number one. You should understand that. But let me give you one or two other issues, and then we'll conclude with one last fascinating debate between poskei zmanenu. So two other issues which are in the Mishnah Berurah and in more recent sources. Number 17 is a very interesting discussion that the Mishnah Berurah has, a debate, and thankfully he's lenient, he's mekel. Let's say a woman didn't forget, but she lit less candles than usual. Usually she lights five, and this time she only lit two. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from earlier sources that that's a problem, and that we would give you a knas. Whatever your minhag is, you always did, you have to do it, and if you miss that, you're out. You're in trouble. But the Mishnah Berurah himself says at the end of 17, v'lo nihira, says that's too much. Again, the whole mitzvah is really only one candle. So as long as you lit at least that one candle, let alone two, you weren't negligent, you weren't poshea in Kavod Shabbos. Maybe you were poshea in your last child who you forgot to light for. Okay, you'll discuss that in family therapy. But that's not for this. Hilchos Shabbos, says the Mishnah Berurah, that's too much. Again, it's on the books. There are poskim. The Prima Gadim is machmir, but I don't know any rabbi Lamaisa who would, and the Mishnah Berurah is mekos. As long as you lit, even if it wasn't a normal number, that's sufficient. That's number one. Number two is a very interesting chumrah of Ramosha, which I don't think is necessarily need to be accepted, but I'll share it with you. Ramosha has a big chumrah, and he says the following. Number 18. A woman who's sleeping out for Shabbos. His example is a young woman who's at her mother's for Shabbos, but that's just an example. It could be any case where you're sleeping out for Shabbos. So what did we say the halacha was? We said the halacha was really your yotzei with the hostess, and it could be even if you're at your daughter's or your granddaughter's, your yotzei with her. But the minhag is, we liked. But let's say this woman, her minhag was, whenever she goes to her mother, she always lights. But this time she forgot. So Rav Moshe Feinstein is machmir. Shatzricha lehosif ner lef yeminug. He thinks in that case, bring down the hammer. So that Rav Moshe was machmir. I have a very hard time accepting this. And I was very happy recently to find that Rav Wozner from Bnei Brak is also mekel. And he says, even though the minhag is generally to light on your own, and even though this woman herself may usually light on her own, nevertheless, push comes to shove, we're not going to give her this knas, because she has what to rely on, her mother or her hostess, whoever the hostess is, lit. So, again, I actually never had this shayla. Push comes to shove, what would I have answered? I don't know, no one asked me. But I can tell you, on the books, there is this chumrah of Rav Moshe Feinstein, but there are, again, certainly reputable poskim like Rav Wozner, who is mekel, and in my heart, I'm more lenient on that question. Last but not least, one which, depending on how we answer this question, we're going to come for a sukkah. We're going to end the shir today based on where we started. And depending on how we answer this question, we may have written this halacha completely off the books. No problem. You're welcome. And that is the question of, does the fact that we're living in a modern world and that we're lighting, or as the case may be, forgetting to light in a room and in a house with full of light anyway, does that change any of this? The halacha that the Ramah is talking about and the women of Krakow who are machmir on themselves, that was when they didn't have electricity. What about nowadays? So I saw two poskim who discussed this, and they have a vigorous debate. The Tzitz Eliezer and Lebar Lechaim, Rav Avadji Yosef. The Tzitz Eliezer in source number 19, he asked the question, I think he was probably the first to address it. Maybe, he says, if, even without this, yeshor bebayit me'or ha-chashmal, as it is nahog b'zmanenu, and therefore you have plenty of kavod Shabbos, plenty of onig Shabbos, plenty of shanam bayis, maybe that should change the halacha, and therefore, I wasn't negligent on Shabbos, I didn't sit in the dark, I didn't have a miserable Shabbos because of my negligence and my forgetfulness, Adarab, I had a beautiful Shabbos, with lots of electric light. He says, it's Eliezer, nothing doing. You cannot rely on that. Chuvasihi, she said, lo mishana klal. The din is not going to change because of that. Again, 9 times out of 10, based on what I've told you, the rabbi might be makel anyway, based on other considerations. But just to say I'm relying on the electric, and again, if you deliberately turn on the light, l'chvod Shabbos, that's a different thing. He's not talking about that. He's talking about someone who meant to light candles and forgot. So b'dieved, after the fact, can you rely on the fact there was light in the room from the electric? So he says no. Afilu kashim adleket, he says, first of all, often it's the husband who turned on the lights. So you can take, she's relying on his turning it on, that's harder to say. But even if she turned it on herself, he says, nevertheless, b'vaday lo b'yichud l'shem Shabbos. Again, if we're talking, in this case, where it's just random, she turned on the lights because she turned on the lights every week. But it wasn't, she was thinking, I'm doing this l'chavod Shabbos. Imkein, he says, yotzei shalohi lika b'osa Shabbos l'kosner l'shem Shabbos, k'darosh u'chanahog. The idea is you have to do something to produce light deliberately, specifically l'chavod Shabbos. And this woman forgot. Maybe there's other mitigated circumstances, but you can't just rely on the fact that there's light coming out of the ceiling. That's the Sitz Eliezer's psak. A revolutionary, game-changing psak is offered by Rav Avadya Yosef. And he says that for all intents and purposes, this entire halacha is obsolete nowadays. Unless you're somewhere in a cabin in some simmer, which you got ripped off for because they don't have electricity. Not the other times you get ripped off for simmers. This is a different type of rip-off. Unless it's really going to be pitch black without your candles, the whole halacha is basically off the books. As he says here, number 20, after all, he says, and again, you have to understand the history. The whole thing is a big chumrah. The Rama was against it. He was shrying in Krakow. Just the women didn't listen to him. But this has no basis in halacha, says Rav Avadya Yosef. The whole thing is a chumrah with no reason. Ein ze ela chumrah rechoka, as the Rama says in Darkei Moshe, etc. Just the women, they were machmir on themselves. Bizmanenu shemadlikin b'chashmal ha'ir kol habayit. Im shakal lahalik ner shemen oshava, ein sarach lahosif klal. Shiyotzi v'dei chavasa b'or ha'chashmal. Even if you didn't do it deliberately, but practically you had the light. So I'm not a Sfardi. The people who ask me shalas are usually not Sfardiot. If you're a Sfardi, I would say, rely on this Rav Avadya. Don't ask any more questions. But as an Ashkenazic, I would have a hard time relying on this personally. And most Rabbanim that I know do not rely on this and follow the Tzitz Eliezer. But hopefully that brings everything to a full closure. Thank you again for coming. Everyone should have a wonderful Pesach.